Hey guys, how's it going?
Fine. I
Hey buddy.
apologize for being late there.
I think I was later than you.
We're not late, we're Jay.
Yeah. I don't think that you were, no. We'll give just 30 more seconds for everyone to join. I did update the agenda. I'll drop it in the chat. I used the one from Tuesday.
Okay, you're the host, so I will let you control starting the.
Recording start. Hello, I will share my screen. Welcome to the Basic Contributor Call. It is January 20th. We moved it back 2 days. Thanks for everyone being flexible with that. Housekeeping. Here's the antitrust policy. All right, everyone's seen it before. The meeting will be recorded. Please mute when speaking. If you have a question, use the raise hand feature, and we abide by the code of conduct. No worries, Dano. Few things on the agenda here, kind of pulling in one, just general announcements. We'll talk about the incentive program briefly. Then we have metrics, roadmap. These are two net new items from the conversations we had around continuing to improve the community engagement and transparency. So I think this is a good, so starting to put those in action, release updates, work updates, other business, open forum, future topics. Anything I am missing or someone wants to make sure we cover in detail?
We do the talk about tracing before we do the general announcements. Now the work update trace APIs.
Sure, yeah. Are you owning that topic? We could start with that now.
I'm just wondering, I didn't put it on. I hear that there's some work being updated to the tracing APIs at Hedera. We're also looking at implementing the parity style tracing, probably just
Oh,
against
yeah.
the library. And I wanted to see if there was any overlap, if we're going to collide and what we're implementing in, if we could collaborate, what the details on what I guess Kareem's got the task. I don't know who's got the task there, but.
So currently it's Daniel who is working on that and some people in Australia. So I think Sally and someone else from her team.
Because it was on the APAC call and wasn't. Was just brushed right over, so I guess I'll wait another 2 weeks and see what they have to say then.
Okay, we can also, I mean, feel free to tag Sally in a chat message. I'm not familiar, so I can't direct, unfortunately. Oh, sorry. But yeah, I think feel free to be like, who's working on this? And we'll be able to, and that will at least not delay it for 2 weeks. Okay. Anything else on
Now I'll just tag Sally and Danielle. Which Danielle?
Daniel
Daniel Lerner, I'll
Oh,
just
Daniel
send it.
Lermer
Yeah.
in UK. Okay.
He's in Spain
I
actually.
think.
It's in Spain.
Oh.
Okay, but Europe basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Next one, incentive program update. So the current action, our team consensus has reviewed it some, but we have to kind of go back to our team to kind of review it in detail. The main action at this point, which is a blocker, is Hyperledger and the EF are working together to figure out what Hyperledger holding the keys would mean and how they would pull that off. So that's kind of the, so Tim couldn't make this call, he apologizes. But that's kind of the main action point at this point for those two parties to work through that open question, so that way we can once we have that answer, we're able to kind of move more into the details. But yeah, that's about it. Then next item is metrics. So I dropped the insights in here. I don't know if everyone can access this link, but it's I'm going to drop in the chat if everyone doesn't mind just checking. So we promised, or we wanted to kind of use data to kind of inform what's going on with and evaluate what's going on with the community. Obviously, this is an awesome tool that the Linux Foundation has pulled together and will help us kind of understand how the community is doing. So at this point, I think I'm just going to do kind of a quick pass looking through all of it, but we'll kind of iterate over the next few sessions to figure out what's most interesting to us and then go from there. Yeah, so we'll just kind of look through this together if that's all right. And then we'll, and continue to kind of be like what's most interesting to us. So contributor strength is kind of interesting. So it's increased 800%. I'm not sure exactly how this is measured. Oh, here we go. The growth in the aggregated count of unique contributors. Okay. So it's interesting that we saw a big jump between July and October, but we have not seen quite the jump between October and January, 354 to 378, 293 to 354. That's kind of interesting. We'll have to watch that in the coming period. Next, contributor growth and retention. So total contributors, active contributors, drifting away contributors. Want to see, so this is kind of the view of this. So it's kind of interesting because it shows the active contributors in blue, the drifting away contributors in red. It seems that our active contributors have slowly, like a slow trend line going up, maybe again declining between October and January. So kind of interesting, over the last 3 months, we've seen kind of a stagnation. And then again, it also seems interesting that the drifting away contributors are also somewhat declining. I'd love to see. Just trying to see if I can wonder what that does. Sorry, I should have probably done a test run of this before. No, that's just a photo. That's not. And the churn rate is 40.26. So I think it'll be interesting over time. We can kind of look at these and say, is the churn rate lower, higher, why or why not? We should be asking ourselves those questions. Commits growth. And obviously anyone stop me or ask questions or comments. I'm just kind of run through it. Commits growth, the growth in terms of aggregate count of total number of unique commits. So there's been a growth in the last 3 years, but I think it'd be interesting to see in the last 6 months what's happened, which has been a growth of 10%. I don't know if commits are as interesting as contributors, just because, depending on how big the commit is, but still interesting to see. New contributor growth. So this is over the last 6 months, to be clear. Total count of new contributors. Interesting that we had quite a few in September, but it's kind of been pretty stagnant now. So we could probably do a little better on encouraging those new contributors. I wonder did anyone know what we did in September where we might have.
That's when I split out the EVM. And I think we got a couple of contributors from LineChain who were authoring some of the changes that I was approving.
Cool. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. Because, is anyone doing anything cool that we can brag about in the next month to to get people to contribute to? I don't know. Something to keep in mind.
For next month, I've done a lot of strange stuff.
Yeah,
we definitely have the bounties list with Sajida for ETH Denver. That's something that we're gonna push.
That's a good point. Yeah. Commits by new contributors. This went up. Interesting. He really spiked. Who's the new contributor that's done all these commits in the last month? Sorry, you're just getting my candid thoughts here. And then lines of code added, deleted. I don't know if this is as interesting to us. And the role distribution.
Again, September was the EVM spike, so.
Yeah, you can see it. It's funny. Yeah. So this is interesting. So 77% of pull requests have been reviewed by the core maintainers during the last 6 months. So it's kind of an equal distribution. Then this is code pipeline. Now this is kind of interesting around like, so 11% of risky changes were caught in a review process. I don't know if we would want that number to go up or down.
I'd be interested to know the standard for risky changes.
Yeah, like I'm not sure how they're defining that actually. Does anyone know how
that? I would want it 100% before it's merged, to be honest.
I don't know if the code for this particular part is public or not, but if you could send an email asking your questions about that to the community architects alias, I happen to have a 2-hour meeting with the team that's developing this today. So I will ask on that meeting.
Just curious. Yeah. we could do that. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the development is done in private repos, and I don't know what's public and what isn't. So.
Mm-hmm. And then one question. So 7% of total changes were merged without any approval during the last 6 months. Are we okay with that? Should it be zero? What are people's thoughts on that?
It
should be zero, and I'd love to know what those changes were.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
There's a way to do
this. This might be just like merging of main into long-lived feature branch, like a merge branch is merging main into it. That could be some of those.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's catching more than the main and the release branches. It'd be nice if we could put a branch filter on some of these stats. Because merge is basically a collaborative branch with not the same release standard, so it's got, doesn't have the same merge requirements. So I can see how that would impact things.
Okay, we'll maybe ask about that one too, Rai. Or if we can get, do you know how to actually, is there a way for me to extract that? Just so that I usually
don't use this view. There's a detail view where you can do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Okay, so we can kind of mess around with it.
If you look at the project reports that are submitted to the TSC, they usually have a link to the details.
Yeah. Okay. I'll spend some time looking at that because that is interesting. 9.79 merged. Interesting. And then 80% of changes submitted for review were approved. Obviously it makes sense that we wouldn't approve everything, and that's good. That means we're actually reviewing things and not just letting everything go through. But I think we should be thinking about what are target metrics. Again, we're just getting familiar with it at this point, but that's kind of interesting too.
I think the most important target metric we should track is PRs from non-core committers to make sure those get promptly viewed and acted on. And I think that's, we're talking about the funnel of changing users to contributors to maintainers. Not having your code taken seriously is a big barrier to that. So if we review it as early, reduce the time to at least look at the PR and get some real comments on it. A lot of, you know, first-time contributors, their PR won't be, you know, up to the standards because they don't, you know, they may be documented, but they not may not internalize what's going on with what the code standards are for a lot of submissions. So the quicker we can get that process started, the quicker we can like reel them in. It's like, you know, you get a bite on the fishing pole, you got to keep reeling it in. So if you let that bite and then you ignore it for, you know, 2 weeks, the fish is gone.
So let's look. So looking at this, this is the PR cycle time, which is kind of interesting. So the total time start to finish is averages 8.92 in the last 6 months. The median time to review a pull request is 0.22. That's pretty good, right? I'd love to see, let's see, 3 months. 0.19, wow, it's even faster. That seems pretty good to me, right, guys? Am I? Off base there?
This is where I would like to see some differentiation between what the stats are calling core contributors, which is 80% of the commits, and the other contributors. We could differentiate. Is this number high because we have a small in-group that always reviews each other's PRs? I think that's what can get missed by this overall metric.
Yeah, that's true. Still, I like that. That looks pretty good. Cool. Merge efficiency. So we're looking at 3 months, just to be clear, an average of zero changes are merged after a month of being submitted. But obviously, let's see, less than 1 day, time to merge, 1 to 7 days, more than 30 days. So nothing. That's good. The 7 to 30 is pretty low. Looks like we've improved on that too. There's been a downward slope in the last 3 months. Let's look at the last 6 month view. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, this has really picked up the review of less than 1 day and 1 to 7 days in the last month. That's great. Then issues, number of issues, open issues and resolved issues. So we've definitely seen quite the downward trend of the resolved issues over the last few months. Cool, okay. I will stop there. And we can kind of keep thinking about this and getting better. What I'll do is hop back. Obviously, if anyone wants to see anything in particular, we'll continue to get better at those and understanding, but I think it's good to kind of see how the project's performing overall. And it's kind of a fun tool. But I know we have, Sujita has to jump at the end of the 30 minutes, so I wanted to give her 10 minutes to talk about the roadmap and have just discussion on what's, you know, kind of a look ahead with the group.
Yes. Okay, so in terms of the roadmap, we have some main topics. Merge being the first one, and currently it's mainly about getting Bezu to participate in, to support testnets and for people to be able to participate to the testnets using Bezu. So we're looking to increase Bezu participation, I would say, on these. Kintsugi currently is the name of the testnets that are being run, and we have a tutorial on how to join that testnet using Bezu and Teku. We're looking to do a turnkey Docker Compose so that people can even like improve the experience of joining those testnets using our software. So that's I guess what's going on with this topic. And then for the day-to-day details, Gary and Justin and others in the team can provide more info. On the EIPs, it's been not that... everything is focused on merge right now. So we had some prototyping done, but it got delayed because anything that is not merge related is deprioritized at the moment. Then we have bonsai trees that we're expecting to see like to become generally available soon. But that's Carrie might have more info on that. And then SnapSync has been, you know, progressing quite well lately, and is working fine on Gorli. It's too early to say, but yeah, because we didn't do the benchmarking, but it seems to have some interesting performance results. So yeah. And then client enhancement is kind of a category to put everything that is not these other topics. And currently it's mainly performance work, updates and upgrades, tracing, things like that. And the last topic is MEV Bezu, which is also linked to a broader discussion that we need to have about modules, plugins, and all this kind of stuff. So this is something that we're trying to brainstorm more about at the moment, and we will I'll publish something, or someone in the team will publish something on the wiki so that everyone can provide inputs and we can start this discussion, because we basically really believe that by changing Bezu so that we can enable people to develop plugins and even have some challenges around that, can improve contribution and also provide more features to Bezu to be just a relevant client, especially post-merge. And MEV is like the first big topic that we can focus on. So that's it. So I did not put any non-mainnet topic on this, just because I don't know what's happening on the enterprise side. But if anyone has some input, feel free to edit the doc.
Yeah, we can reach out to Sally and others to see if they can add that in. That's a good point.
Yeah, good idea.
But thanks for updating this. I think this is great and helpful and provide some transparency. Any other questions? Okay. Easy enough. Release updates. Who can speak to this? Sorry. is this up to date? This is 21.10.
I think that's mostly up to date. So there was a lot of releases, of course, for Log4j.
Yeah.
And then there was a release for dependencies. I guess one of ConsenSys's clients needed the dependency updates in the 21.10 line and couldn't wait for the 22.1 line to release. So that, you know, addressed a lot of the scanning. Ethereum Classic had a hard fork that needed a timely update. And Ethereum Classic, they're just getting too aggressive with their fork schedules, but, you know, Diego's willing to deal with it, so we got it out. And then there was a course bug that was related to the 21.10.7 release, which when we do these dependency updates, that's why I like to have burn-in, so we can catch these rather than upgrading the dependency and shipping it as soon as possible. That's why back when I was still at ConsenSys, during the quarterly updates, one of the first things we would do is update the dependencies and see what burned in. So we're no more than one quarter behind any critical security updates. So that's what we got to do when we're against the wall. But that's, you know, we need a, you know, Sally's got a point on there for automatic vulnerability scanning down further down the agenda. I think those are the things we need, because we were using Sneak before and Sneak's just not very good. I'll just say that.
Any comments or questions on just the releases or anything anyone wants to add?
Yeah, we'll say that 22.1.0, we're talking about doing an RC3 today, and we're wanting to kind of invert what we had been doing on the releases for the release candidates, as we were doing long-lived feature branches and cherry picking into it. And I think that we had some discussion about it. It seems that it's going to make more sense to cherry pick into the prior final quarterly releases that we need, and then treat RCs, just have them come off of main, just because it, right now we're in a situation where we're not releasing main, and it's not really safe to, it doesn't seem like it's a wise idea to have both releases be off of just off of head, so there's not a prior release that's viable. So just putting it out there that there's been some discussion about kind of inverting how we've been treating release candidates to have them be off of main instead of long-lived feature branches that we cherry pick into.
I like it. That's what I was pushing for a while ago. But one change I would request is we start calling them betas then. And when we do RCs, that's, you know, RC implies cherry pick. So if we start calling them betas when we switch to quarterly release mode, I think that's more reflective of the state. And then we start doing the RCs and then we cherry pick into it to limit the pull into it. But that was always one of my problems, was that the .1 release was always a super release with a month's worth of minor changes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think Justin is looking into, right now he's looking into doing release modifications. We've got a DevOps engineer who's working on some release pipeline stuff. So it's possible that we can make a change from RC to beta. As I don't know what kind of consensus would be necessary to sort of change that naming. But I mean, it's functionally it would be, you know, just as I described, but there's obviously some automation that would have to change, but
yeah, I would say we should just open up a topic on the release improvements wiki page that we've got and that we've been working on. Thanks for your participation, folks, on that. It is progressing, but I think, we're not quite sure what actions are going to come out of it yet. So I think this is totally reasonable to fold into that. Thank you, Sajida. She just posted the link in the Zoom chat to the document I mentioned.
I'll just add the link in here so folks can find it easily.
Thanks, Grace.
Cool. Next step, so we did the work updates. We have to follow up with Daniel and Sally. So other business. It looks like there was a change to MRDS guidelines, which was merged. Any other update in that? I don't think so. Hyperledger chat task force. So we had a meeting this week, just for everyone's awareness here. And we're putting together a proposal to move to Discord. We are not, that is not an approved proposal for the record, but that is, it's either stay as is what it seems like, or move to Discord. And so we will keep you all posted, but hoping to get that finalized in the next couple of weeks. I think realistically, it'll be part of the goal is to not just, you know, have a proposal and say we should move, but also here's the migration path, here's how we communicate it, here's how we make it easy for everybody to do, just so it's not, you know, kind of a free-for-all. But getting closer, so fingers crossed. And you can all keep me honest, because I'm the person who has to write the proposal. So if you pester me enough, I will definitely do it much faster. That's it. Open forum. Looks like there is the automation vulnerability scanning. Looks like there, she's provided a recommendation on the nightly scan of Docker image with Trivi. So if everyone wants to take some time to look at that proposal, that would be great. Also, if anyone wants to speak to it more than I can, feel free. All right, anything else? Any other topics people want to bring up? Cool, let's end 29 minutes early. Thanks everyone for your time. We'll have another one of these in the coming weeks.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.